And welcome into the Wednesday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezovic, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Presented by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Remember FDIC, equal housing lender. Joe Rex Road, for about 2 seconds, I forgot what day of the week it was.
I was going to say, that looked like you looked for the date. That was pretty quick, though.
What is today?
Seamless.
Wednesday.
Yeah.
Like
so.
Like if you were just listening to that, you'd have no idea. If you're watching, might have noticed that.
That's part of the damage of the streaming. Can't get away with anything.
Right? I feel like I got to be like so well composed and professional, you know?
Which we do a great job of here on this show.
Yeah.
Lots of professionalism being thrown around on this show.
We're big on appearances.
Big on appearances, big on professionalism. Here we are on September the 22nd. I've already reached sweatpant and hoodie season, baby.
Yeah.
Well, it's 57 degrees in Greenbrier, Tennessee when I woke up this morning.
Well, it's interesting because a lot of times it'll get cold in here and I'll put on whatever sweatshirt I have that day, and you usually don't even bring one in.
No.
You usually like tough through the cold.
Yeah.
But now I'm hot and you're sitting there in a hoodie.
I don't know how you're in a hoodie. It's 75 degrees in here.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of plan for the outside, right? Like I saw today that the low in Greenbrier, Tennessee is going to be 46. And that really just shook me to my core. So I'm not quite ready for all that yet. So now I've just got the hoodie and sweatpants
on.
I'm going to the gym after this, too, so that's part of it. But
nice.
There you go.
Sweat it out, man.
Yeah, man.
There you go.
Trying to be a little bit more active.
Yeah, good.
Before the winter comes around and I don't want to get outside.
Yeah.
You guys don't even get winter here. Don't even. The winter here is amazing.
Every now and then. It can get cold.
I mean, yeah.
Rex Road scoffs at that.
Well, obviously Michigan, New York, there's a total difference. There's a few little, snow days, little ice here and there. Yeah, Will,
I got snowed into my house last year for a week straight.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I had snow in New York up to my belly button.
Yeah, that's never happened to me.
Wild.
Never had that.
Well, in the great snowstorm of 1978 in Battle Creek, Michigan, it was over the house.
Good gracious.
It was, the houses were buried in the snow.
Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
I don't remember it very well.
Jeez. That was,
but, yeah, there's pictures, and it's crazy.
That's actually terrifying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 1978. Oh, people still talk about it.
I bet they do.
Here we are talking about it.
In the Serial City, which is only a few minutes from Climax, Michigan.
Yes, that's right.
Where my mom
Great grew town.
Up. The yes. Village of Climax.
That is correct. We're off and running today on the show, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexford, one thing that we've not really gotten to all that much in the NFL so far that has become a big talking point this week in between weeks 2 and 3 is the taunting rule in the NFL. And we saw it firsthand in the Titans game on Sunday with the Seahawks being victimized by the NFL's new crackdown on taunting. We've seen it a handful of times throughout the league. I think the most notable one that's getting conversation right now is the Cleveland and Houston game, which was pretty awful. It was just a really stupid call of taunting. I guess, what have been your thoughts on this? Because I thought it was one of those things that we saw a lot in the preseason, and we've seen this a lot in the NFL, where there's this emphasis on something, and they call it a bunch during the preseason. And then as the regular season comes around, as time goes on, less and less the whistle comes out for whatever the point of emphasis is for that given year. I really didn't notice it a lot week one, and then week two rolls around, and we see a little bit more of the taunting penalties. Is this good? What do you think of this from the NFL in terms of trying to crack down on taunting? The players hate it.
Yeah. Well, overall, yeah, I think they're going too far, and I agree with you. I figured it would be kind of like, okay, now go back to common sense. There's been a few with common sense missing. I'm hoping. I can tell you right now, I'm asking Mike Vrabel about it today for Lindsay at The Athletic, who's doing a piece on this, and other people are writing about it. So I'm hoping that the attention on it will maybe help people kind of balance out a little bit. So according to ESPN, Brady Henderson, 11 have been called. And again, the rule isn't any different. It's just that they've they've had the officials, you know, emphasize enforcing it. But yep. 11 have been called. That's the total from last year. And there were 9 total in 2019. So Ron Rivera was asked about this yesterday, and I get his response. And like Vrabel, very, very for it. And I think I think this is actually coach-driven. That's one thing to keep in mind. A lot of people look at this like, the NFL and the suits, and they don't want anybody. I mean, this is coach-driven. And the reason Rivera gave a good answer, basically like what happens is this stuff starts, and then you, after like the third time back and forth, you get a fight. And that's what they're trying. So, okay, I do get that. And I think some of them that I've seen called are fine. Like, I have a bigger problem with the, like, when they had the celebration end zone, when they've, at various times in the history of the league, they've tried to crack down on that. Like, can we have fun here? You know, someone has, like, an awesome breakdancing move in the end zone and they can't use it.
Now, I will say, and before I say this, just keep in mind, I don't really have a problem with players taunting or players celebrating on the way to the end zone. So it's not me personally, but it is funny, and people pointed this out. I think the comment I saw was from the Reddit college football account the other day on Twitter, where taunting was called all day long in week 2. And then all of a sudden Sunday night, Lamar rolls out on a bootleg. There's no one within 20 feet of him, and he somersaults into the end zone, and that's just nothing. It's like,
Yeah. Well, I agree. I'm glad they didn't call
it. I'm glad they didn't call it. It's just, it is funny.
Yeah. Well, and that's a thing that you've seen a lot more in college is the before you get to the end zone, kind of hold the ball out or something, and then you don't get the touchdown.
Like sometimes Tyreek Hill takes the scenic route to the end zone.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some ground he's trying to cover.
Hey, I mean, one of my favorite plays of all time, you can look this up, Ray Crockett of the Detroit Lions picked off Troy Aikman.
I've heard
and he
this.
Just stopped, looked back, shook his head, and then walked in and like spot. It was amazing. I mean, you know. I'm for that stuff, but, you know, the taunting where it's, like, in your face, you know, and there's just a lot of back and forth. I mean, I think that's the point that the coaches are trying. So that's fine. It's just, I mean, the one that, you know, the DJ Reed got for Seattle against the Titans was stupid.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, it was a little celebration. I mean, there's always going to be some yapping back and forth on the field. These guys are trying to beat the crap out of each other for 3 hours.
Pretty emotional game.
Yeah, you can't completely take that out. So, I mean, look, all it is the rule's the same. It's just a matter of can they find a balance and enforce it sensibly. There's some times where, sure, that's fine. Cool things down a little bit early in a game, especially if you can tell maybe something like, okay, this particular matchup, these two guys don't like each other or whatever. I mean, there's stuff like that. But, yeah, some of them – like someone tweeted out a big highlight reel of a bunch of them in a row. I don't remember who it was, but a lot of them I thought were like, ew. Yeah. The Houston-Cleveland one for sure. And, again, I think the one the Seahawks got was bad.
I do too. Well, and you know, I've heard – Rodgers talk about this. I think it was on the Pat McAfee show. We're like, you know, as a player, what crosses the line and what doesn't. Like, what is taunting and what's not. Some of it is just, you're running your mouth a little bit out there. It's what football is sometimes. That it's not all friendly out there in a combat sport. It's just not. It's what happens. So, I think generally speaking, you can pretty much always see, especially if you're on the field as a player, and I think to a certain degree as a viewer watching the game, like you know when a player is getting up and is taunting somebody, it's usually pretty animated. Most of the time, it's pretty harmless stuff that goes on out there. So I hope as this season goes on that there's a little bit less of an emphasis on this and we can kind of get back to playing football and having the emotion be a little bit part of the game. I mean, nobody wants to see, you know, fights break out or anything like that, although I've always said, if you try to get in a fight in an NFL game when the opponent has a helmet on and shoulder pads, it's kind of on you at that point. But nobody wants to see that. I hope we get to a place as the season goes on where this is way less of a big deal than it is right now.
Yeah, I'm thinking that, again, this sort of reaction now to all of it may help a little bit. And, you know, by the end of the year, we may know about, you know, a particular crew or two who just – like they're way overzealous with it or something like that. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that at some point there's going to be a key, you know, like a result in a playoff race or something that's impacted by one of these. And that's where it's like, man, I mean, we already have enough. It's already hard enough to officiate games. We already have enough human error, even with replay, where that can happen. So now you add another way to screw someone over. And, you know, Titans fans, just hope it's not you, I guess.
Well, it's interesting, too. Like, you know, Robert Tonyan on Monday night, he gets hauled down for pass interference against the Lions. And he gets up and he just starts yelling and dancing and doing all this stuff, pointing a first down. And I guess he wasn't looking at the guy. So I guess that's not taunting. But if you turn like your body like a 90-degree angle and you start looking at the guy, then all of a sudden it's taunting. Like, trying to determine what is taunting and what's not taunting under this new crackdown is interesting to me.
So it's – yeah, so it's directed at someone.
Correct.
Because that's the thing.
So just make sure when you're talking, if you're a player, just look the other way.
Yeah, no, the no-look trash talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, like DJ Reed, when he pump his – you know, he's just, and then I guess he was looking at AJ Brown. Yeah. I mean,
which, by the way, AJ Brown, I went back and watched the play. AJ Brown's not even really looking at him on the play. He's just like kind of looking around on the ground. I don't think AJ Brown thought twice about it.
Yeah, that was dumb. So that's the stuff that they have to do. You know, I mean, some people, I mean, like Jamal Adams' quote is, you know, come on, man, you're taking the passion and emotions out of the game of football. And that's what you don't want. You know, you don't want it to go too far. I mean, you want to see, like, that's great when Tonyan or whoever makes a big play. I mean, Travis Kelce does that all day long, you know. I like the first, you know, yeah, first down, that's fine.
That's right.
You know, you like when your team does it and you hate when the other team does it at the expense of your team. So, it's, I think it'll even out, level out, I mean, hopefully, because – like, why do you want that to be like some big storyline this year if you're the NFL?
I would hope that you don't. And now that the GOAT has spoken out about it, Tom Brady put something on Instagram about it. The one thing that we can all agree on is the NFL taunting rule sucks. Probably going to get changed now.
He's
talking about it, in good shape.
They'll just do away with it entirely. Nice. Yeah, they'll just get rid of it for Tom.
You can say whatever you want.
Yeah.
No taunting at all anymore the rest of the league.
Tom's going to bring targeting back as a preferred way of tackling.
That's right. When we come back, we'll get into the Titans. Some more moves made yesterday in the Titans secondary. What do we think of this secondary for the Titans as they move forward here? We'll get into that coming up next. Right now, though, I've got to tell you about my friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. And the biggest game of Week 3 is the Monday night matchup between Philadelphia and Dallas. And FanDuel Sportsbook is about to make it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. And that means you can end the NFL week the right way by winning $150 on a $5 bet. Personally, I like Dallas in this game. I've been impressed with Prescott coming back from injury. He's looked pretty good. But you take it any way you want to take it. Offers like this are just one of the many reasons I love betting the NFL on FanDuel. It's the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, and secure, and they get you your money in as quickly as 24 hours. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with promo code ROB this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia, and you can win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use promo code ROB so they know that I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only. A $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market. Max bonus $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. Are you struggling to find and retain good employees? Well, we can help. Cromwell Media invites you to attend one of our two free recruitment and retention seminars hosted by Chris Stonick on October the 5th or 6th. For the past 33 years, Stonick has helped hundreds of companies find newer, more cost-efficient ways to recruit qualified employees, learn new recruitment strategies, enjoy continental breakfast, and be eligible to win door prizes. Go to thegamenashville.com/register for more info and to sign up. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Also streaming live today and every day on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube. Our video streaming is brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Konezvik, intern Will here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Johnny on Twitter pointing out,
a Christmas Vacation reference, and then in the tweet tagging Ryan Porth to see if he'd seen it. As we know, Ryan Porth, not very movie savvy, but Ryan Porth, I can confirm, because I've seen it with him a couple times. He's seen Christmas Vacation.
Good job, Ryan Porth. And he's quick. He's quick. Yeah, he was 6:15 in the morning. He's ready to tell us.
He was ready to get in there.
He loves that movie. So, good job, Porth. Proud of you.
I'm very proud of you.
Rare occurrence that he's seen it.
So. That would have been on the list of movies you have to see.
Yes.
Now we can take that off the list.
Still a lot to get to on that list.
Yeah. A lot of others, but that's good. We can cross that one off, buddy.
That's right. Joe, the Titans making more moves yesterday. And we talked about, obviously, not having Amani Hooker. A big deal for the Titans in the secondary against Seattle. Bradley McDougald getting some playing time. He was cut yesterday. And defensive lineman Anthony Rush cut yesterday as well by the Tennessee Titans. I guess your thoughts on those two moves yesterday by the Titans and what this means specifically at safety as the Titans move forward here.
I mean, it's a tough business. One day you're starting, and 2 days later you are just cut.
Yeah.
So kind of a clear sort of indication of what they thought of how he played. I mean, we saw the huge mistakes from him. Again, those are big. But, you know, you never – like, this is where coaches go through the film and they know the communication between the players. And it's still – well, it was still possible. Like, McDougald may have had an okay day and just – looked really bad a couple times, but I guess not, right? Like, I mean, he was replaced, of course, in the game too. And, you know, Dane Cruikshank comes in. So I think Cruikshank, maybe this is finally for him, the guy that I didn't think was going to make the team because he's hurt all the time. Maybe it's his time now to show he can be a defensive regular.
Well, it's interesting. And we didn't bring this up yesterday, but I listened to Mike Vrabel on Monday, and he was asked about Dane Cruikshank. And basically his response was, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things he's got to work on, but he probably did enough to warrant more playing time. And I thought, that's an interesting response. And then I guess he did do enough to warrant more playing time because they're getting rid of another safety the next day.
Yeah. Now, Matthias Farley could still be, but I guess in theory could still, like, it could be a competition
sure.
This week. I mean, it's still... Look, if Bradley McDougald was the pick a week ago with those guys available and then we saw how he played, I still wouldn't feel great about things right now.
Nope.
So, obviously the Titans need one of them to emerge and be dependable. Yeah, they had a safety-heavy, like, dime look. Now, that's just against – see, I don't know if this is – I mean, I'm sure it's week-to-week and, you know, matchup-based, but with Cruikshank out there and – sort of basically like in a linebacker, you know, the second level in the dime look. But then he moved around. He was back there with Byard at times. And, you know, he's versatile. Very good special teams player. Hard to keep healthy.
Yep.
But is he ready to, you know, to make a difference and be close to what Hooker was? It's not like Hooker was some all-star. You know, you don't want to overstate what he was, but he was really good in camp. He looked like he was ready to step in there and be a good player, a plus player for the defense. And one weak link back there can be a real problem.
Well, I mean, the good news for the Titans is, I mean, I look at their schedule the next 3 weeks, and DeAndre Hopkins and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett are not going to be running around against the Titans. I mean, the Colts, they've got some good players. Top 100 player, Corey Davis, with the Jets in a couple weeks. And then who knows, the Jags are, they're a special kind of mess right now. So I guess from a scheduling standpoint, it comes at a pretty good time. Like if you're going to miss Amani Hooker, which I think they absolutely missed him in that Seattle game, maybe a little bit less of a blow in the next three games just based on the quality of competition and the quality of wide receivers that you're going to be going up against.
Yeah, that helps. Actually, it's weird because I thought Jacksonville – would at least throw it well. They got some pretty good receivers. They got the rookie. Someone tweeted, and this wasn't Pro Football Focus, but this was another analytics place, that he's thrown 36% of his passes have been uncatchable.
Yeah.
That seems like a really high number.
Like,
that's
I just
number
wonder,
one in the NFL, most in the NFL, 36%.
I've not watched a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars football so
good,
far.
Good for you.
I do wonder, like, Do you take into account running for your life and throwing the ball out of bounds? I mean, I would assume so. But yeah. I don't know how much that's happened with Trevor Lawrence. Maybe he's getting great protection.
I would assume so. That's another thing. I mean, I actually thought they had an okay offensive line. Like, I didn't think they were going to be complete flaming trash, but
looks like they might.
They may be. They might just be.
So what have you made of the secondary as a whole through the first two games? Obviously, you lose Hooker after the first game. We've talked a lot about Christian Fulton and how well he's played. I thought Jackrabbit Jenkins responded and played much better in week two than he did in week one. As a whole, what have you thought about the secondary's play through the first couple of games?
Well, Molden has struggled. He's looked like a rookie. He got benched, so Chris Jackson's in. That's something to watch this week. I think Molden is going to be fine. I think he's going to be good, but he's getting some he's getting some initiation into the league here.
Yep.
And again, even Christian Kirk, not the first guy you think of with Arizona, pretty solid. Well, I guess, what is he, their fourth option? I think with Rondale coming on, he's co-3 at least with Rondale right now.
Rondale's approaching number one. DeAndre, better watch out.
Rondale will not be on my bench this week. And then you go, and then Lockett puts you in a blender. I mean, I think he'll be fine, but it's, obviously if you're the Titans, you wanted to see him really respond and grab that job. So now that's open. We've talked about Fulton. Fulton's been very good. I think Jenkins is going to be a frustrating player at times. He's going to take a chance here or there, give a big play. He's not perfect. He's not an elite corner, but he's good. I think I did not see this, okay, but Mike Herndon had a tweet the other day, like, all of you, I need to follow more Titans fans, I guess, like Titans Twitter.
It could be a good place.
Apparently there was a huge, like, oh, Jenkins is Jonathan Joseph after the opener. And no one should have thought that. As bad as the whole performance was by the Titans, no one should have thought that. Jonathan Joseph just, he should have just been retired.
He couldn't get in the same area code as the receiver he was covering.
Yeah. I mean, Jenkins made quite a few plays Sunday. So he's gonna be frustrating at times, and there's gonna be some give and take. He's gonna give some stuff, but I bet you he jumps some routes and gets some picks too. Like he's a fast, still player, physical, aggressive, fights with people. Doesn't taunt, as far as I know.
Hopefully we've not seen it yet.
Hopefully he doesn't taunt anyone. I think it's better. I mean, I think it's better. And Byard so far, I mean, it was a rough opener, I think, overall for him, other than the pick,
yep,
which was a great play. But I think he's fine. It's like a game like this. And with sort of maybe a rotation next to him, you want Byard to step up and make big plays in these games.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. CD texting in, Fulton and Byard have been good. Everyone else has been subpar, in my opinion. Fulton's definitely been above average.
That's probably about a fair assessment. I mean, the thing with Byard Sunday is I don't recall him getting beat.
No.
I don't recall him giving up a play.
I don't either.
So, again, you really get the recognition at safety when you get interceptions or force fumbles or, make big. But if you're out there all day against that team and no one really called your name, that's probably means you did all right.
So, who starts Sunday at slot corner for the Titans? You going back to Molden? You going to Chris Jackson? How do you think the Titans handle that?
I don't know. That's a great question. I don't.
Thank you.
Yes. I don't know. I mean, Chris Jackson was repping as the starter throughout camp until he got hurt. And Molden was drafted to be that guy for sure. And then I thought Molden and some of those, like the game at Tampa Bay. He did a few things like, wow, this guy can really make some plays.
Yep.
In a game like this, where who do you feel better? I mean, honestly, who do you feel better about against the run? I feel like Molden has at times been a really quick and explosive tackler, but also he's kind of missed some here when the games count. So maybe Chris Jackson, maybe Vrabel feels a little bit better about him in this game, in this what could be like a real could be a real grinder. I think the Colts are going to come out here, whether they have a banged up Wentz on the field or not. They are going to be out here to run the football. We know that.
Maybe we'll see some Jacob Eason on Sunday. And then I can get cold take, but I'm going to say it now. Maybe he'll throw you a couple right to you. It doesn't matter what the coverage looks like.
Well, that's true. And again, the Colts are going to be out here to run the football.
When we come back, we'll continue the talk on the Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Also get into Ryan Tannehill as well. Has the disrespect of Tannehill already begun this season? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forgotten that the problem in Miami was Adam Gase. That Adam Gase coached Ryan Tannehill into that. And he came here and he became this. He's been as good as any quarterback with no exceptions in the NFL in the year and a half that he's been a starter. You want to tell me it's only a year and a half is not enough of a sample size? That's the only reasonable argument I can see against saying that he is an elite quarterback. He is as elite as anybody you want to name.
That was Mike Greenberg from ESPN earlier in the offseason discussing Ryan Tannehill. Some strong comments there from Greeny on Ryan Tannehill.
A little much, but he makes a lot of good points. As elite as anyone you want to name,
yeah,
I isolate those words and say, well, hold on a minute.
There are two that come to mind that
calm down. Pump the brakes there, but made a lot of good points. And it does, I think of this week a little bit.
Yeah? Why is that?
Well, he really, like, what he did was pretty special Sunday. It really was. And it's just overshadowed by Derrick Henry. Which is, I don't think he cares, but it is interesting. There's another example of, like, this game around the league. I think a lot of people, you know, it's got a lot of attention. It was two good teams. It was a great game, overtime. And then you have just the ridiculous performance by Derrick Henry. And it's another example that someone who didn't watch this game would be like, oh, so basically everyone just rode Derrick Henry's coattails to the win. Titans don't tie the game, you know, without especially that drive, Tannehill just being outstanding. And I want to say that's his 23rd game-winning or game-tying drive. Pretty good. He just, you know, he deserves. You think about the hits he took, okay? And what, six drops? Were there six drops in the game? There were
six drops.
Okay.
A.J. Brown got credited technically, I think, with three.
Yeah, so one of them was we had a big debate in the press box on one of them because it was a quick slant, and the DB kind of got his hand in there. I thought that it bounced off A.J. before the corner got there with the hand, but I think that one was ruled a PBU. So, fine. So, five. So it's five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, look at his numbers and then factor in the drops. And let's also remember he threw a touchdown pass that was taken off the board.
He did.
So, add all that up with the hits he took and he has taken in 2 weeks. He's taken some monster hits.
Yeah.
And he's standing in there and making plays, breaking out of the pocket when he needs to. Again, maybe his best pass the other day may have been the last drop from A.J. Brown, which might have just set up the Titans to end the game before they even had to do the walk-off safety that wasn't called in the Bullock field goal. So
and we would have hated to rob Randy Bullock of that moment. But, yeah, it's a good point.
Right. So it's just there were certainly times last year where it was like you couldn't ignore what Tannehill was doing. And there were a lot of days where it was like Tannehill and Henry together. Tannehill, very good, right? But this was one of those days where it's like I think people are a little bit missing what Tannehill did in this game.
Well, he threw for 347. And there's a lot of people I think that – look, there's a lot of box score warriors around the league. And they say, well, he didn't throw a touchdown pass. It must just be Derrick Henry the whole time. Ryan Tannehill I thought was really good in that game. And – you know, we talked about it. John Glennon came out with his weekly Pro Football Focus grades. I think Tannehill and Portha sent this in as well. Tannehill is at a 92.6, And the only guy in the league higher than him on Sunday was Zach Martin, the offensive guard for Dallas, at 95.5. Tannehill had a pretty good day.
Totally reliable grades.
Yes.
But, yeah, I mean, I will say, Pro Football Focus, which gave Christian Fulton like an F, but I will say that they had Tannehill, you know, ahead of Henry. So I wouldn't have done that either. I'd give Henry like 104 on a scale of 1 to 100 for the overall performance. But that's – if you put any stock in what they do, if you don't, that's fine.
Yeah, but, we're not gonna hate you for not putting stuff.
But I mean, that does add up with what I saw. I mean, he was just really good, and it just the whole thing looked a lot different, of course, than the week before. The whole offense was bad, but I didn't think he was really bad. I didn't think anyone of the skill players were bad in the opener. It's a team sport.
It is a team
sport.
Got
a block.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Keith from Bowling Green texting in. One of the most impressive things Tannehill does is stand in the pocket. And I will say,
agree,
that dude hangs in there. Sometimes maybe a little too long holding on to the ball, but he is not afraid. I don't think there's any question of that. If you were, look, we talk about all the time Steve McNair and the toughness that he had, and I don't want to compare anybody to Steve McNair because it's pretty hard to compare anyone to Steve McNair and what he was able to do. Ryan Tannehill is a tough son of a gun, man. He'll stand in there and he will take hits and put his body on the line and just continue to throw the ball, even though he's getting blasted. I've been, really ever since he got here, really impressed with the toughness that he's displayed. It's pretty incredible.
I mean, if there's one huge difference from the last guy to this guy, not that there's any reason to like make Mariota Tannehill comparisons, but it's just striking how later in Mariota's time here, he couldn't put that away. I think that happens to a lot of quarterbacks, and it's totally understandable. I mean, you know, put yourself in those cleats, and you've taken a certain amount of hits, and you know there's like a 6'5", 260-pound guy who wants to blast you.
Yep.
You know, I mean, and you know that clock in your head is going off. And it's just hard for a lot of guys to stand in there. The ones who do are usually the great quarterbacks. So, I mean, he's had injuries too. You know, he's had serious injuries. So, I agree. I think that's one of the best things about all that he brings to the position.
CD texting in, nearly 350 yards, and if Julio and AJ didn't have any drops, he'd have had over 400 and should have had at least one more touchdown. I thought, considering the O-line, Tannehill played extremely well, minus the fumble. And there have been a lot of people jumping on him for the fumble, like you got to hold on the ball, which I get. Like you would prefer your quarterback, when he's getting hit, to be able to tuck it. But, I mean, some of the hits he's taken so far have been pretty hard. It's going to be difficult to hold on the ball, man.
Yeah, I can't blame – I mean, the first one with Chandler Jones coming, he did everything that you could do, and it just – he was trying to get rid of the ball,
yep.
You know. Yeah, I guess this one is more of one of those some quarterbacks are good at as soon as the contact comes, but, boy, he got blasted. That's one of those hits that just – you know, you're surprised when someone does hang on to the ball. So, but, yeah, it's – I think did he lose one fumble last year? Is that correct?
I think I saw that, yeah.
And he's lost three. So, got to clean that up. Nobody's perfect. There's things to get better. Just like the defense had a great second half, which included giving up a 68-yard touchdown pass.
That's correct.
Still got improvements to make.
Still got improvements to make. And, look, you know, Ryan Tannehill, we talked about it a lot. He's probably never going to get the credit that he deserves. And you brought it up that he probably doesn't care about that, which I agree to a certain point. But, like, at some point, if you're Tannehill, do you look around and be like, what exactly do I have to do to get the respect that other quarterbacks around the league get? Like, at some point, if I'm Ryan Tannehill, I'm asking that question. Even though it's not the world's biggest deal, and you want to go out there and win, and I get all that. But at some point, I would look around and be like, huh. I just threw for 350. What do I have to do to get respect around the league?
Well, he was pissed about the Pro Bowl thing.
He was.
And he should have been. He absolutely should have been in it last year. You know, I didn't – obviously in the press box, everybody's wearing masks. So I talked to my coworker, Michael Sean Duger, who covers the Seahawks. I forgot to try to find Mike Sando because I found out later. I was like, oh, he was in the press box. Mike Sando got a front row seat for Tannehill. And Sando's been one of those, I don't know about naysayer, but he's kind of on the, a lot of play action. Yeah. And look, a lot of his opinion is informed by what he does. He's GM. He does the quarterback tier thing, and this is what people tell him. But I wonder if he's got a little bit more appreciation for Tannehill after watching that. Gosh, I would hope so.
I would hope so as well. We'll continue the conversation on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans when we come back. I have more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Listen in tonight as Nashville SC takes on Miami. Pre-game starts at 6:15, and the match begins at 6:30. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, presented by Volunteer State Bank. Visit volstatebank.com to learn more about their free Kasasa checking account. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We're going to be joined by Vanderbilt football coach Clark Lee to begin the 7 o'clock hour. So looking forward to that conversation with him. Vanderbilt with a game coming up this weekend against Georgia. So conference play beginning for Vanderbilt coming up later this weekend. So looking forward to talking with Clark Lee about that. Right now, taking your thoughts on the Titans, driven by Wilson County Hyundai on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And one thing struck me on Sunday watching Tannehill play that I think has been underrated, even maybe here locally during his time with the Titans. The deep ball he threw to Julio Jones, what a pass. I mean, that's a, you know, Julio streaking down the field, did a good job of creating a little bit of separation and made a good catch on the play. That was a heck of a throw by Ryan Tannehill in that play for the 51-yarder to Julio Jones. And I remember the conversation we had in the offseason and that report that came out that Julio wanted a good thrower of the deep ball. They got a pretty firsthand look at that one on Sunday. Ryan Tannehill chucking the ball down the field.
I don't remember that. He said he wanted. Was he saying I don't know that Ryan wasn't?
I don't know that Julio ever actually said that. That's just what came out of Atlanta. Is wherever he goes, Julio Jones wants a good thrower of the deep ball. I was like, oh, okay.
So
seems like Matt Ryan was okay at that.
Yeah. So that wasn't necessarily throwing shade on Matt Ryan.
No.
It was just another, wants another good thrower of the deep ball. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, Tannehill.
Pretty good toss.
Tannehill makes all the throws pretty well. Like, he's pretty good. You know, it's, yeah, he's, but yeah, to your point about the box score watchers, I mean, that's, I mean, we've got plenty of box score, what do you call them, box score warriors? That's,
yeah.
The box score box warriors.
Score bandits.
Box score bandits, there you go. We got a lot of those in town, too. When you go back to, you know, those playoff wins, I mean, he had nothing to do with them.
Apparently not.
You could have just put Jacob Eason back there, hand off Derrick Henry.
CD text again. Am I wrong for being upset seeing so many 2 and 3 tight end sets during the game? I know we're a run-first team, but we don't have a starting tight end. We have three guys that wouldn't even be second stringers on a lot of teams.
Yeah, we were talking about that in the press box early in the game, and they certainly – I mean, I think my prediction, and I know TD thought the same thing, that they were going to be a lot more of an 11 team this year, kind of more like the Rams. Right now, isn't really coming to fruition.
Now, how much of that do you think is the health or lack thereof of Josh Reynolds, Chester Rogers? You don't have Marcus Johnson available. Do you think that could change as they get more people healthy?
Yeah, and I mean, it could also change on a week-by-week basis, too. I mean, you'd like to see that. I mean, that, to me, that's, I mean, look, the bottom line is the offense scored 33 points, and they moved the ball. Like, they had a 3-and-out on the first drive. You know, they had the run for negative yardage on first down, and then they had the Tannehill getting blasted.
Yep.
Did they get stopped at any other point? I think Brent Curd had one other punt. So, look, I mean, that's – whether you're in 12, 21, 11 – I mean, if that's how you're moving the ball, great. But I understand the idea. Like, their tight end group is not strong, especially with Firkser out.
Yeah.
So why are they on the field so much? Well, they also block, though. And I've watched some clips of, you know, some of the Henry runs. And there's some tight ends who were involved in some of that stuff. Those guys, you know. And we also saw Michael Pruitt as a pass catcher in this game. So, but I would like to see probably more 11. And I would say, yeah, like week to week, you got that flexibility. You know, spring the surprise on people. Stay a step ahead of people.
Let's go back to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. William from Madison texting in. I listened to Seattle radio on Monday. The host stated that the Seahawks let a terrible quarterback beat them.
God, are you serious? Was that Dr. Frazier Crane?
Could have been.
See, that's
I really hope we've moved past that.
Like, do we say stuff that stupid about, like, you know, players from other teams in the league?
I mean, I hope not, but probably. I probably have from time to time.
Like what, though?
I don't know.
That's just so dumb.
Like, you don't even have to think that Tannehill is an elite quarterback. Whatever, that's fine. But if you think he's terrible, you haven't watched a whole lot of football the last couple of years.
Have you slept through the last two seasons? You would think that, you know, you would think that some of the big wins they've had, they've been in some. Now, granted, the whole country watches that Green Bay game last year.
Yep.
And the Titans were just crap. They were so bad in that game. I mean, Tannehill, I remember they had one highlight from the game, which was Tannehill running for like a 50-yard touchdown, right?
Yeah. Guess who was chasing him? Kevin King.
Well, he was closer than anybody else.
Yeah. Chasing a lot of people.
Like, I can say right now from here, from Nashville, like, Kevin King sucks as a cornerback.
He's awful.
I think, I don't think anybody in Green Bay would be like, what are you watching?
No, don't think they would either.
But the Tannehill thing, that's incredible. Someone actually said a terrible quarterback beat him. I understand it's probably like it's a Monday morning rant. The local team lost, had a 2-touchdown lead in the fourth quarter, so there's emotion there, right? But that's just so dumb.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jeremy texting in. If Tannehill has 3 or 4 more seasons of competitive quarterback play, do you think he will be considered the best Titans quarterback ever? I don't know, man.
There's an emotional element to that. Now,
correct.
I think that my answer back would be, what do they do in the postseason?
Right.
I mean, if they get to the Super Bowl or win it, or even just win some more playoff games.
Yeah. Well, look, I'm already comfortable saying he's already the second best Titans quarterback of all time. But we're going strictly Titans, and we're not having the Oilers part of this discussion either. Strictly Titans. He's already, to me, the second best quarterback they've ever had, at least.
Yeah, and you know, if you go by numbers, though, you have to keep in mind the era we're in.
Yep.
He's the best. But I'm not saying he's the best because I think Steve McNair...
He's awfully good.
...was awfully good. Was a co-MVP, was a Super Bowl quarterback, and was about as tough as anyone in the league. So those are the things that Tannehill, it's going to be eye of the beholder on that. I think it's different than what we were talking about yesterday with Derrick Henry and Eddie George. I mean, I think Derrick Henry, he's better in the last stretch here than anyone else has been at that position for the Titans.
Yes.
Tannehill, that's a tougher one. And there's such a difference, I think, in even around the league, like, how people viewed McNair during his prime, very different, obviously, than how Tannehill is viewed right now.
Yeah. Damon on YouTube. Tannehill battled and kept his team in it on Sunday. I blame the fumble on poor blocking. Not much you can do when you get blasted from the blind side like that.
Yeah, and by the way, I just talked about how the tight ends, you know, been a big part of the run game. That was Jeff Swaim getting Tannehill just blasted, so... Got to get better. They need Firkser back, too.
Interesting to see what comes of that this week, and we'll get our first look at the injury report today for this week. So, obviously, we're going to be paying a lot of attention to Taylor Lewan, Roger Saffold, but Anthony Firkser, an underrated part of that, it would be great if he's available for the Titans on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, Firkser, I still think there are big days ahead for him. I know it hasn't, you know, nothing worked in week one, and then obviously he misses week two. Don't sleep on him. I mean, even from a fantasy perspective, you know, I think Firkser It just adds up. The way he and Tannehill work together, and just the way, now that you start to see the offense come together last week, those other guys are going to have some moments.
Let's go back to the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ramal texting in. The Titans defense went 4 of 12 against Russ. If they can do that or anything close, games will be won.
Well, I agree. If they do that and then you don't give up 180 yards on three plays.
Correct.
Because, you know, if you're good on third down, but then on second down, second and six play action, you give up a bomb for a touchdown, then, yeah, good for you and your third down percentage. But there were some big third downs in that game where it's basically just, can you affect Russell Wilson? Can you keep him in the pocket? Can you hold coverage for a few seconds? And they did it. They did the job.
It was nice to see them significantly under 50% in terms of third downs given up. It's pretty good stuff.
I think they were, what, 52 or 52, 53? They were right at that.
52 against Arizona.
So, yep. Yeah, that's getting better. Pass rush still, though. You want to get home a little more. But I thought that was a big kind of moment in the game. It was early. So much happened after that. But just the Danico Autry series where he's like all of a sudden just, you know, in Russell Wilson's face multiple times. That was good to see.
Yeah, it was. Tune in to the NFL Game of the Week on ESPN 94.9, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The NFL Game of the Week is the Philadelphia Eagles against the Dallas Cowboys on Monday night. Kickoff set for 7:15. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Vanderbilt head coach Clark Lee to look ahead at their matchup against Georgia. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.